Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Donald, they're making a Lando series for Disney Plus, and Donald Glover's coming back, and I just don't see how anyone could avoid you being on this show.
Wait, Donald, how did I miss this?
This Joelle, happened this morning.
Oh, see, Joelle, I had it right.
This is brand new news. They think they just dropped a trailer. I haven't watched the trailer
yet. A trailer?
Yeah.
There's a trailer already?
Yeah, somebody was saying that there's some images on Disney Plus, so I'm not sure if they cut a trailer from like
Nobody called me.
Listen. Wait, Joelle, it's already been filmed? No, it hasn't been filmed.
No. I think it's footage from Solo that's been cut up like So he's in there doing his Lando thing and they're like coming soon. Lando Calrissian.
Listen, I was going to say Solo's a good movie. Y'all can hate if you want to and act like Solo sucks.
I didn't make it through
Solo.
Let
me just tell you something right now. There was nothing wrong with Solo. It was a fun Star Wars movie. If it had come out before The Last Jedi, when everybody was kind of over Star Wars for that little bit of time, I promise you it would have been well received. The problem was it was Rogue One, The Last Jedi, and then Solo all within a year and a half. And that freaking made it so everyone was like, I'm not up for it. It's too much Star Wars for me. It's too much Star Wars.
But right, well, listen.
If that were The Force Awakens, let's say, how about this? Now, even
let's
better.
Let's not go down a whole Star Wars wormhole, please.
I'm not going to go down a wormhole. What if that was one of the first television shows? Let's say that was what The Mandalorian was. If Solo was what The Mandalorian was when it came on, everybody, and they were like, look, we're not going to make it a movie. We're just going to make it a television show. We're going to do 9 episodes of Solo. And the first episode was the movie that we saw. Everybody would be losing their mind on how great Solo was. So don't give me the bullshit. It was just too much Star Wars.
Okay.
I'm going to pin this conversation for our own podcast.
Yeah, exactly. And I also think anytime directors are replaced with a new director and that director comes in and has to sort of start from whatever point he's starting. I mean, it's kind of a recipe for a disaster.
It's two different movies. There's the Chris and Phil movie, and then there's the Ron Howard movie.
I would have really liked to have seen the Chris and Phil movie because they're funny dudes. But I guess my assumption was always that they must have gone off too far in their own direction, and Kathleen Kennedy, the woman who you can't recognize from her identical twin, probably thought, like, hey, that's not the tone of this. What are you guys doing?
I don't know what happened.
I made that up in my head. Joelle, but doesn't that sound like it's realistic?
I'm very curious to know the real story of what all went down. I've heard a lot of rumors, but there's nothing confirmed. Everyone's being very tight-lipped. As of now, I think it's a story we'll hear more about in 5 or 10 years.
Well, I think, one day it'll come out.
Yeah, it's
one
like
day
the Snyder cut. Everybody's so excited for the Snyder DC cut and everything like that. Is it really going to be better than the Justice League movie, though?
I don't know, but all I can tell you is this.
I'm just asking out there. Joelle nodded her head like, I don't know. Dan nodded his head like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But everybody bought whatever the fuck, HBO Max, is that what it is?
Yes.
Yeah,
do you have to buy HBO Max, or is it if you have HBO, do you just get HBO Max?
No, you
I can
have
actually
to get...
answer this question. No,
okay, go for it.
If you have a subscription, you do not need to buy it. You can use your, you can log in like through your
if I have it through my cable or whatever. I have it. Okay,
but if you don't have it and you're like, I'd rather just pay like $10 and have the HBO streaming experience, you can do that as well, and it's totally worth it. There's so much content.
And when does the Snyder Cut drop? Does anyone know that?
That is a Google question. Let me find out.
Interesting. Interesting.
How are you, Adeyashun? How are you?
You know, I'm doing it the best I can. California just reached number one in the U.S. with COVID.
Yeah,
cases.
Congrats, everybody. Congrats.
We did it, y'all. We did it. Thunderous applause, Dan. Thunderous applause.
No, how about instead of thunderous applause, Dan, you just do thunderous booing?
Yeah, cheers, Dan. Cheers.
You suck!
We did it, y'all.
Good work,
we
Dan.
We did it.
Good work, LA. Good work, California. We are the worst.
Holy cow, dude.
We're going to be making movies in Stad. Nobody's going to make anything here.
Well, you know, it's okay, though. It's okay. We had it coming. We were so freaking
out. Hey, this is Canada's chance. You know how, like, if we're in pole position for production and Canada's like, oh, shit. And now, you know how then the cars, they take it on the turn and then they make a move on the turns? Yeah, this is Canada's chance to come in and just steal all the U.S. production. Good luck,
Canada.
They
can do it right now. You can do it right now, Canada.
Right now, Canada. You need to make the incentives even bigger, and bam, it's over.
Just don't tax us. Just don't tax us. Everyone will come.
Do you know that the film industry started in my hometown? Well, my home neighborhood of
what town is this?
Well, Edison's Black Mariah, where he was making the very first films, was in West Orange, New Jersey. That's where his laboratory and where he did all his work was. You can actually go there; it's a museum. And the Black Mariah was his first soundstage. I don't know if you guys know this trivia. And the Black Mariah was a rectangle or square that sat on a giant circular track, and so it could spin. It had a sunroof, and it would spin to find the light, because Edison needed so much light to make these films that the roof would open, and the whole thing would rotate 360 degrees to find the sun. And so the movie industry begins, and it's like, holy shit, this is a thing. And then someone goes, why are we doing this in New Jersey? Why don't we do this where the sun is always out and it's always 75 degrees and it's always sunny and we don't have to, we can do whatever the hell we want.
And that's how the song, all the leaves are brown and the sky is gray and the sky is gray. California, California dream on a winter's day.
Well, that was a beautiful rendition. That was written a few years later in the 60s.
Oh, was it? Oh, okay.
But that's about living in Laurel Canyon, I think, right? There's a great documentary on the Laurel Canyon music scene. I highly recommend
you. What's it called?
It's called Laurel Canyon, I believe, and it's on Epix. And there's a two-parter, and it's about the music scene in the 60s and the 70s in Laurel Canyon. And it's just fucking great if you love music and music documentaries.
I do love music, and I do love... How are you, man?
I'm good. Heather Locklear's here today. That's a thing.
That's amazing. First of all...
Is she here, Dan, Joelle?
Is she here? In the waiting room?
We should probably get into the show.
Let's get her in. Nobody leaves Heather in the corner.
You don't leave Heather in the corner. I'm nervous. Can I be honest with you that I'm nervous?
I'm nervous, too. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yes, go ahead.
I knew that we had a guest, and I knew that it was someone of importance.
Yes.
I'm afraid I did not know the magnitude of the guest this week.
How did you not know that it was Heather Locklear? She's the only star in the episode that we would ask. I mean, who did you think it might be besides Heather Locklear?
I thought it was Shay, because this is such an important episode also.
Oh, no. Shay specifically requested his story, which I believe is the episode Johnny C. Voiceovers.
Okay.
So I think that's one of Shay's favorites. So we said, Shay, you pick.
Because this is such an important story in the whole, Scrubs thing. This episode is so important.
I never imagined in my whole life that I would ever be in a position to keep Heather Locklear waiting.
Let's not do it anymore.
Let's end it. Let's stop it. Get her.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we made. About a bunch of doctors and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said, here's a story. Everyone should know. So gather.
Can you hear us?
Hi.
Here we go. There she is.
I got so excited, my dogs are all barking now. Hey, shut up. I'm talking to Heather Locklear.
How are you guys?
Hi, we're Heather. We are so excited you're doing this. We're very
amazing.
Geeked out.
Thank you. I can't believe it. I'm geeking out all over again.
Donald, you look like you're in a closet with clothes. What's going on? Where are you?
He is. That's his sound booth.
I am legitimately in a closet with clothes. You nailed it. This is my closet. I share it with my wife.
I was hoping because there's some nice pink. Yeah, I was hoping you wouldn't be in that dress.
She put something up, something else up because it was just my golf shirts and stuff. She was like, "That's ugly to look at. Let me put."
You didn't tell me that those dresses were up as background design by Casey. I thought that they were outfits she might be wearing soon. Now you're telling me
or
that
Donald might be wearing.
But you're saying that Casey didn't like the look of the closet on the and decorated a little bit.
Yeah, she put up something so that the backdrop was a little different. I've since moved the camera a little bit.
Sweet.
That is so cool. Zach, you're all happening there. That looks
yes,
cute.
Heather. Donald has two young children, and so he kind of has to hide out in his walk-in closet to do this podcast.
Oh, no, I hear. I put my dog out with my boyfriend because he would bark and be all over. And my daughter just left Donald. I have to say, she just wanted to say that she has a crush on you.
Oh.
And I don't think she ever saw Scrubs, but I don't think she was alive. But I think she saw Uptown Girls.
Hey, we're in that together.
Right, we were.
We've been talking about this. Now, we have so much to ask you, but wait, since you brought it up, let's start with Uptown Girls. Donald's told us a lot of fun memories of making that movie. Heather, did you have a good time making that movie?
No, he had good friends with the co-stars. He really didn't talk to me. I think we had one night out.
Yeah.
No, he was really sweet, but he was very much in a group, and I was the old lady of everything, so I was like, okay, I'll
that's
just
not it at all. I was
Donald,
so,
were you
no.
too cool for school for
no,
Heather Locklear?
I was so
no,
nervous.
Wasn't.
I was so
no, you
nervous.
Weren't.
Yes, I was.
No,
trust
he
me,
was,
I was.
He was. He was.
Trust me, okay. I was.
It's so sweet.
I think we had just one night out, right? That was it.
It
or
was
two
one
nights
long
out.
Night. Long yeah. night in a line or something. Yeah.
Yeah,
and that
it was
it. But I'd see you in makeup and stuff. Yeah. That was
it. Was a fun time. I enjoyed making that movie. I enjoyed being in New York City in the summertime,
that
too.
Was so cool. I know. I was like, oh, I'll go to New York. That's great.
It's so rare when someone actually lets you shoot in Manhattan these days or even those days. So when someone's like, it's a movie, and you're like, okay, I like the script. They're like, and it's shooting in Manhattan.
Are we going
you're like,
to
I'm
Vancouver?
In. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Right.
That's how it always is. We were just saying that how Vancouver has an opportunity right now, right this moment.
Oh, yeah.
To
they won't let
up.
Any of us in.
Right, but they can snatch up all the work.
I know. We
get
just said that
right,
before,
that's
you,
true.
Before you came on, Heather. We were saying that Canada is in a position since COVID is just devouring Los Angeles to steal production once and for all.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Just not with us.
Yeah, we're not allowed in. But maybe one day they'll let us in. Maybe one day they'll let us in.
We've never really wanted to go to Canada so much.
I know. And now it's exactly like life when someone's like, now we're all like, please let us in. Please let us be in a relationship with you.
Right, exactly. There you go.
Heather, I was just looking at your IMDb, and an actor could only dream to have had the length of a career you've had. I mean, you have... I Donald and I can only hope that that we have a fraction of the success you've had over your long career.
You already do. Don't
No, you started.
Oh, that's right. I'm older than you. Well, I'm older than you.
You're a smidgen older than us.
You still have time to catch up.
You have a smidgen older, but you started very young. Now, is it true that I was just looking? What was the was Chips your very first job? That's
it
what IMDb says.
It was my first job. My first line. Make them stop. Please make them stop.
I
remember.
Hey, that was good. I would have cast you.
It was actually a group of motorcycle riders throwing a girl up in a blanket. I don't know if it was me or someone else, but I remember for the audition, I was always nervous. And for the audition, I heard the girl before me say, make them stop, please make them stop. And I'm like, oh, that's the way I'm supposed to do it. So I copied her.
You I'm stole like, her line reading. I'm going to try that.
Yes, I did. I was, it was very good.
So wait, so these motorcycle men, I just want to catch the scene. They have a teenage girl in a blanket and they're throwing her up?
I think there's two of us. And I think, they might be throwing the other girl up in a blanket and she's so terrified of these guys. And I'm screaming, make them stop. I don't know who I'm screaming to. Probably
to Ponch. Yeah, probably to Ponch
or
John.
Exactly.
Either John or Ponch, one of them.
I hope it was John or Ponch that came to your rescue.
Yeah,
it's like if you're on Chips and like your storyline didn't involve Ponch or John.
What's
like,
the point?
Yeah, like, what am I doing here? I wonder if that happened with us. Like people, like you know, Heather, you got to do two episodes and you got to interact with almost
most everyone.
Yeah. I'd be funny if you came to do a show that was popular and like you never your storyline didn't include any of the lead characters.
Can you imagine? You're like, oh, it's that swell. Oh, actually, there was something I did. I did the first Wives Club, and there was a couple scenes, and there was a couple scenes that they cut out of me, and then the only scene that I had no lines. And one of the actors, we're at a funeral, and he's supposed to take his hand and touch my breast, and they show that. Uh-huh. And he actually touched more than the, it was kind of gross. Right. And so I said, can you just take my name off the credits since now I don't have any lines or, and, you know, saw everyone from afar. So it was creditless.
So wait, you're in the first Wives Club, and the only thing that happens is a man grabs your breast?
He doesn't grab it. He actually outlines my areola with his finger. I didn't,
oh my God.
Say that in the script. I was I'm so glad they're following his hand down because my face, my mouth is fallen open and I can't believe it. And don't do it again. Just one take and let's go.
Oh my God.
That's, yeah.
You know, I've never asked someone this, but it's just, it must be, it's a blessing because you're such a stunning woman and always have been I think it's safe to say you were a sex symbol because you are.
You were and are.
And is it ever, because Donald and I never faced this problem.
Never.
We're not sex symbols.
Listen, but I mean, man, never.
Did you ever feel like, did you sometimes feel like guys, like, I want to do the part, but I don't want to do that random sex scene with that guy. Like, does that have to be in there? Does that come up?
Well, it wasn't really, we were in a funeral. We were on the benches at the church.
Oh.
Yeah. So it was, and so there was more to the part and I had filmed the bigger scenes and they just thought I don't know, maybe I was bad in it. And they went, let's just put that.
I doubt it. You're one of the very few people.
You are gold.
We were talking about you because you're one of the very few people that was on two hit shows at the same time.
Right. That was very cool.
Tell us about that. You were doing
Dynasty.
Dynasty
and TJ Hooker.
Oh my God.
First I did How opposite can you be? And Dynasty, I think they let me go. Because they were letting someone else go. And I'm like, okay. So then I got this other job, TJ Hooker. And then they brought me back. So, you know, I would work a week here and a couple days on Dynasty. And it was no big deal. I wasn't the main purse character. So it's only had a few lines in each thing.
Right.
So it wasn't tough at all.
But it was a big deal because that doesn't ever happen to anybody. Yeah.
Was it two different networks?
No, it was ABC and they were both Spelling.
Oh, there you go.
Imagine that. Yeah,
gosh, Aaron Spelling sure did love Heather Locklear.
He sure did, and then he passed away, and then I'm like jobless.
Oh, don't say that. Don't say that. Well, listen, Bill Lawrence loves him some Heather Locklear.
Well, I did Spin City, and I'm not sure if he was writing on it then or not. I'm not sure what the thing was. Maybe he left. But I think he might have created it. Is that true or not?
Yes, he created the show, and I'm sure if he wasn't writing, that he obviously thought you were very funny.
Oversaw something.
Yeah, but he also, you know, Bill is a very one thing about our friend is he's very loyal, and when he likes people, he likes to work with them over and over again. So even if he wasn't writing the show at the time, the fact that you were on the show means he was like, oh, you know, he had obviously seen your work and thought, oh, she's so funny, she's so beautiful. And
I befriended his wife, and so now I get Christmas cards.
Well, that's the way in. That's the way in.
Yeah,
Krista.
That is. It's always through the wife.
What was
good.
TJ Hooker like? Because we always hear all these Shatner stories, mostly from Star Trek, but you knew, like, Shatner, this was a long time ago.
Well, he was very intimidating to me, and he's like, when you stop speaking, saying you're like, you can't think for any lines, kind of like on your show on Scrubs, you can't think, you can't go, I mean, you guys do, because then you have that bubble where you're doing something else. But he would say, if you stop speaking and take a breath, I'm going to jump in. So I'm like, blah, 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 blah. And it was always like license plate numbers I'd have to remember. Oh, license plate, blah, 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 and this and blah, blah. And they'd have 50 different characters in one show. And so I was just delivering the boring information. And it made me so nervous. So, and he'd look at me and stare and wait. And I'd go, and he'd jump in, and that was about it.
Yeah, so, he is very intimidating. He's Captain Kirk. I can understand why he's intimidating.
Well, I didn't ever see those shows, so he was just William Shatner.
Even at the last, even at the time, Heather, were you curious to not to go back and see, like, oh, let me see what this was, this guy's, the lore of Shatner?
Yes, I did. I could see the allure. He's very charming, but he's very, and he's very funny and very dry. I ended up doing a Boston Legal with him, and that was fun. And I was a little older, more, it seemed closer to his age than when I was 18.
Right.
And brand new. But he, and then I remember going, I think, I don't, maybe it was Nobu, and it was he and his wife, and or we went to some place where you throw the bras off and you put them on the ceiling, something like
Coyote
that.
Coyote Ugly?
I don't know. Something similar. Something similar. I don't think it was that, but it was another place. And I was on the bar, and I go, should I take it off? And I'm thinking, he's probably going, why are you asking me? And he said, sure. And I took it off, and it's left there somewhere.
He's like, why?
Why
are you asking me?
Right.
Sure,
and then
why
listen
not?
To this. What's his name on Seinfeld? The little guy who... the
Jason
little guy
Alexander.
On,
Jason Alexander.
Yes. So he is a huge fan of William Shatner's. And if you watch... Yeah, he goes, tell me what Shatner's like. Tell me what he's like. And I'm like, well, sometimes he's an asshole and sometimes he's not. But he's like, oh, I got, and I didn't want to, you know, say anything there. I mean, there's nothing wrong with William Bill. But so you, if you go back and watch, you'll see his cadence is similar to William Shatner's.
Really? Oh, really? He was inspired
I must
by
watch
him.
Totally.
Jerry!
Now you have to look at it differently. Yeah. Yeah.
Kramer's totally coming over.
Right. Yeah,
Kramer's
exactly.
coming over, Jerry.
Exactly.
Point the phasers at the crystals.
Wow, this is going to blow people's minds. So Jason Alexander was such a big fan of William Shatner that if you listen to his cadence, some of it is in the spirit of that unique Shatner cadence.
Exactly. With all those
I want to meet the person. I want to meet the person who's a fan, like is such a fan of like Christopher Walken and tries to steal his cadence. That's the hardest cadence I've ever heard in my life. That is the toughest. Mm-hmm. I feel at home.
Speaking
Wait,
by the way, you do a great Jimmy Crack Corn of Neil Diamond.
Yes.
I had that stuck in my head. Jimmy Crack Corn, and I don't care. Whatever however
that's
you did
the only, that is the only impersonation that I can do that's actually close to it.
It's really
it's,
good.
It's only because when I was a kid, I used to watch, you know, Transformers and G.I. Joe after school. On, you know, WPIX, and they would always, in between the shows, they would play a commercial for Neil Diamond's greatest hits.
Oh my gosh.
And I could only get the first few lines. I've never owned a Neil Diamond record. I've never been to a Neil Diamond concert. I've never seen a Neil Diamond movie. All I know is that he sang a bunch of songs and they went like, turn on your hot light.
Ha! Very good.
Let it shine wherever you go.
It really is. Oh my gosh, you are amazing.
Around the world.
Oh my gosh.
They come into America.
It's his only impression he does well.
Oh
my gosh, stop.
Ain't no surprise.
Now, it's the only, in all the years I've known him, Heather, it's the only impression he does well.
Yeah, like they tried to get me to do Aaron Neville. I can't do Aaron Neville.
You can.
Zach doesn't great Aaron Neville.
I don't know. I love you.
I love you.
That's great.
That's all we got. Now, I'm guessing Jimmy Crack Corn is probably a public domain song, I'm guessing, because they didn't. Maybe that's why we chose it, because we didn't have to pay for it. By the way, all the songs in this episode, Heather, sometimes now that these shows are all streaming, some of the songs had to be replaced because the contracts they signed for the original show didn't extend to streaming. So this episode I thought really suffered because there was some good music in this episode that is all gone. I don't know if you guys watched
it. I didn't notice. Yeah, I did watch it on Hulu, but I didn't.
Well, at the end is supposed to be a Nelly song, right? And that was not the song. Don't.
Yeah, if you want to go and take a ride with me.
Must be the money.
Yeah, no. All right.
And then.
Wow.
But anyway, so I just wanted to say that the show ends and it's supposed to be like we're on a rooftop in downtown LA. And it's like, and then I was really noticing that song, whatever they replaced.
What was the song?
Well, what happened was someone went in. I think it was Randall.
Randall Winston. He admitted to it.
Oh, yes!
Oh, you know Randall Winston.
He did Spin City.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, he told Donald and I that he was the one who had to oversee someone going, hey, we got to fill in these slots. And so, I don't know. They're not nearly as good. But I guess if you have the DVDs, you're the only person with the real, all the real original music. But we usually watch
it. I think I do.
Should we get into the recap?
Let's get into the recap because we've got B. Heather Locklear here.
Oh, dear.
Janaea Bakken wrote this episode. She's a very good writer.
Do you want me to do the 30-minute recap?
Oh, sorry.
I mean, 30-second recap?
Not the
30-minute. 30 minutes.
Sorry, I forgot. Heather, we have a new thing there. Donald.
It's not new anymore, but we keep forgetting about it. Zach keeps forgetting about it.
I don't know why I forget about it. I love it.
I don't know either. Listen, it's anxiety for me. I freaking sit down and I really think about it. And sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's not. That's how it goes.
Anyway, Heather, he is going to sum up the whole episode in 30 seconds. And then together we'll go through and really parse it all out. But now I get my stopwatch out. Hold on, Donald.
Okay, listen, this might be a little bit longer than 30 seconds, but I don't care.
Well, I really like it when you at least try to get 30 seconds.
But then I might miss out on things and stutter over my words because I'm so nervous. This is very nerve-wracking. But here we go. Get ready. On your marks.
On your marks. Get set. Go.
This episode's about a bunch of things, but mostly it's about double standards. Turk and JD are fine if they rob the hospital, but not each other. Cox hates the fact that his girlfriend has baggage, but winds up having his own. Elliot loves the perks of having Daddy take care of everything, but longs to make her own career decisions. This is an important episode, because at the end, all of them are moving forward in their personal lives.
Yeah.
Turk and Carla are at the next level of their relationship. Jordan and Cox are going to start a family. Elliot is stepping away from her comfort zone, and the hospital's becoming more of a backdrop, meaning this is a sneak peek of what's to come.
Oh, shit. All right,
that was amazing.
It was amazing. It was 39 seconds, so in some ways you failed. But let me tell you how you...
Listen.
Let me tell you how you didn't fail.
I don't give a shit if I fail. I don't care if I fail anymore. I don't care, because it could be... I'll do a minute one next time.
I want to give
like
you
it.
A genuine Just compliment.
I'll do a minute one next I, time.
Good I, for you, Donald.
I want to give you a genuine compliment, Donald. That was... No bullshit. That was a very good summary. And you actually highlighted things that I didn't even see. I saw what you're saying in terms of the episode being about new chapters in a sense, but I didn't think of it in the macro, like, oh, this is a shift in the show in that we tease the marriage, we tease Johnny C and Krista getting back together.
We tease Elliot going off on her own.
Right. Mm-hmm. Elliot separating from her parents and being financially independent.
And so, then JD realizing he's about to be in limbo at the end of the episode.
Right.
Also.
JD nervous about losing his best friend because Carla says the word we about Turk and her. And he's like, whoa, what's happening here? Am I going to lose my best friend? So my point is that was very good because your summary was not just, hey, here are the facts. It had some insight into it.
Yes.
I will gladly give up those 9 seconds of failure to get the insight. So that
thunderous applause, Dan. Thunderous applause. Thunderous applause.
Dan, I'm going to approve that thunderous applause. Seconded. I wonder if we should make it so when we add these thunderous applause sound effects, if we both need to approve, it's like you know in the nuclear code where they both have to turn their key.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That was my favorite part of Superman 3 with Richard Pryor in it. Where he's pretending he's drunk and he has to put the keys in at the same time, and he makes a little levy using another person. If you ever get the opportunity,
what about the beginning of War Games? What about the beginning of War Games when they go, "Turn your key, sir."
Right, he puts the
turn
gun
your
his
key,
head.
And he puts his gun.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a great scene.
Love it.
Sorry, Heather. We sometimes have trouble staying on topic.
That's okay. I love it. It gives me things to look for.
This podcast should be called A Digression.
That's okay. It's good.
Some people on the web were commenting like, I really enjoy it, but they don't always talk about the episode. I'm like, well, guys, that's the show. This is the show.
That's right.
That's the show.
The show is there, right?
The show is this.
Right. We also have Joelle and Daniel. Okay.
Yeah.
So they talk about things out of nowhere.
Yeah. All right. So the first thing I laughed at out loud was when I walk in, Carla is in the apartment, and I pick up our taxidermy dog to hide my tidy whities. And Donald walks in and goes, "Don't use Rowdy to cover up your giblets."
So good. The dialogue is excellent.
Yeah, what Thank a weird you. Word for what a weird word for.
What a great word
for yeah, groin giblets. For, I like
giblets.
It.
Giblets. I love
like,
it.
It sounds like what is it? Gizzards to me. Like
what are giblets? What are giblets? It's the extra. It's the extra
my
stuff
gizzards,
you don't.
My biscuits are burning. My gizzard.
Giblets are the stuff you don't use when you cook a turkey, right?
A chicken or a turkey, chicken or a turkey, whatever.
I don't know. I thought I
don't
take
know. It out of giblets that bag. And, is a, I don't know.
Go ahead, Joel.
Giblets yeah, is a culinary term for edible offal of a fowl that typically includes the heart, the actual gizzard's liver, and other organs.
There you go.
I know what those other ones are.
Yeah. Yeah. No one cooks chicken penis. Or maybe they
you
do.
Never know.
It might
maybe,
be a delicacy listen, somewhere.
I was about to yeah, say, you I'm never sure. know. You never know.
Heather, do you like eating weird stuff, or are you conservative
no.
with your, you know?
No, I eat like what's weird, giblets. I don't.
Well, I'm not saying you eat giblets, but like, do you eat like,
that is.
You know, when you're out and about and someone says, ooh, try this weird food, do you do that? Because I normally don't. I'm like, no, I'm going to
Have you ever
no.
had snail? Have you ever had snails?
No, I've never had escargot.
Escargot? No, I have. That's good. It but no, good. I usually ask for someone else to taste it first yeah, and look okay. at their face.
Donald, are you Donald, are you an adventurous? I don't think you try
no,
anything
no, no,
too
no,
crazy.
No, I don't.
You like what you like.
I don't fuck around with food, man.
But you like sushi.
I do like sushi, and I like. Listen, texture is a big deal for me, and if I know what it is, and then the texture is what I imagine it would be like, then I have a problem with it. Like somebody was like, "Do you like beef tongue?" And I was like, Ew. Absolutely not. No. And it's all because when I was younger, I tried it and my grandmother made it and I tried it and it tasted exact. Well, it didn't taste like, but it felt in my mouth exactly what I thought a tongue would feel like yeah. if it
well,
was cooked up.
You can always like just check your own tongue and it's probably like that.
Yeah,
that's
chew
exactly
on that.
What it was. It was like chewing on right? your own tongue. And I was like, I'll never, ever, ever,
You ever
ever,
see
ever,
it
ever
in like the
again.
Deli counter? There'll be just like a giant beef tongue. It's really
tongue.
Gross.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
I don't like that.
With all those buds, those taste
And people
buds.
Eat yeah. brains too. They eat cow brains, right?
Yeah, no, yeah, but, I don't.
You know, it's a delicacy in some places. It's like watching Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. Chilled monkey brain.
Yeah, as we've talked about, that movie gave me nightmares.
Yeah. This was a big episode.
Yes.
For me in particular, when I look back at it now, it's even bigger. Ken Whittingham, the first black director
yes.
Scrubs has ever had,
yes.
Directed this episode.
Yeah.
And I think this is his first time directing it, too.
And Ken's a very good director, and he became one of our regulars because we love Ken Whittingham.
He's gone on to direct so many shows.
Yeah,
he's directed
success.
Pretty much everything. He's directed pretty
wow.
much everything.
Yeah.
But I remember thinking about, oh, they hired a brother. Okay.
So that was good. I mean, that made you feel like, okay, about time, guys. It's like middle of season two. How about yeah. some people of different minorities that are directing the show, right? We had a woman?
We'd had a yet? Couple of women direct already at this point.
Right. Maybe Gail Mancuso, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I mean, now this is 20 years later. This is still a big conversation.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah,
it's what it is, crazy. Man. It's you know, we still got to make these moves, but
yep.
it's what it is, and it's time to change that. You know, we got a restart coming up soon, so let's
well,
do the
now,
right thing,
now,
y'all.
Now in this, I think in a good way, there's a mandate making sure people do it. So, you know, the networks and the studios have really said when we made our show Alex Inc., they said no, we want. You know, it isn't like, oh, you guys can do whatever you want. It's like, no, we would like a certain amount of minorities to be represented. We'd like a certain amount of women to be represented. And I think that's really great and only getting better.
I agree with you 100%. Let's go to break, guys.
We're going to go to a break and we'll be right back with Heather Locklear.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days, even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive?
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved playtime off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day. Because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City Branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
And we're back. I'm weeping at 2:54 because Dr. Cox, I think, winked at me. And that's how happy I am to get
his
approval.
That's right.
Were those real tears or did somebody have to muster that up?
No. I mean, when I'm doing a dramatic thing, I can get myself there. But in a comedic part, no way am I just going to start bawling.
All right. I want to ask you to do it.
Heather, can you do that? Can you cry on cue?
No.
Right. It's very tough. Hard.
I want you to tell the Garden State story, dude. Tell the story of Natalie Portman and tell the story of you, the two different versions of crying in that movie.
Well, Natalie is very good at that. Natalie, like some actresses I know, and Sarah Chalk's another person I know who can do this, can kind of go off in the corner for a minute and get herself into a head place.
Oh, yeah.
And then do it and cry. For me, and then Garden State, she had to do that a lot because she had some crying moments. For me, it actually was a blessing in disguise because when there was a scene in a bathtub, empty bathtub where we're sitting, and I was meant to cry, and we shot the wide master shot first, and like I said, just being in that moment and with such a good actress, and it was so real, it genuinely happened, and I cried, and it was a powerful moment, except that it was the big wide master.
Right.
And the camera wasn't going to see most of that. It was just sort of establishing the room. The trick for those of you who aren't in the entertainment industry and doing what we do is now you're going to have to do that over and over and over again. You're going to have to do it when a medium shot, you're going to have to do it when it's a close up, you're going to have to do it when it's over Natalie's shoulder. And for me, that was close to impossible to just keep being able to emulate what had happened naturally in the wide shot. But that's the task of an actor. But for me, it was, but I was also directing. So then I had to go, okay, this isn't going to match. And you know what, maybe it's too much. So I decided just on the spot, go, if it's not happening naturally, I don't want it to be this false. So then it became, I only shed one single tear. And then we had a joke about her collecting it in a little plastic cup. but so that was kind of how I felt. Because when I was directing, I felt like, you know, if it's forced and it's false and it's weird, then I'd rather not have it even be in the show. Is that what you meant to for me to tell?
That's the exact story I was talking about. I found that so fascinating. It was like the scene was supposed to be something else. And you blew your wad in the first –
Yeah.
And now it's time to do it again. And it's like, all right, well, we're not going to get that. And you turned the negative into a positive. And it's actually one of the more powerful scenes in the movie.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
That's pretty great.
Thank you.
I just
go ahead, Heather.
Go. No, go. You guys go.
I was going to say that it's a good lesson for filmmakers out there. It doesn't have to be related to tears, but about adapting. So something happens and you go, and I've had this happen, you know, when you're directing something, whether it's a music video or a giant feature film, every day something is going to happen where you're going to go, okay, that's not according to plan. Is this a blessing in disguise? So for me, in this example Donald's talking about, it was like being able to cry nonstop for hours was just not going to happen. It just wasn't what my head wasn't in that space. I was also directing the movie and had so much anxiety going on. So then it was like shifting. Well, what if it's not that? Maybe bawling like that is way too much for this character. What if it's actually a joke that all I can produce is one tear and we laugh about it? So sometimes just going with it and coming up with a new plan on the spot is one of the most crucial things of being a filmmaker. But also a lot of blessings in disguise can come out of it.
Usually when I'm in that place, the director says, don't blow it on this master. It's going to be for a second, we'll come in and do that. But I do find what you said, I mean, I don't think heavy tears, unless it's like for whatever reason, is called for. I think the real moment is when you're in the moment. And if it comes, it comes. But usually your face and your heart starts to happen and all kinds of stuff. And it becomes more real rather than showing something and trying to get to show something. Right. It's whatever else happens.
I agree. And it never feels as good. It's a pet peeve of mine when you watch so many movies and TV shows where someone is crying, but there aren't tears coming down their face. Next time you watch a crying scene, notice if the person has actual tears in their eyes, because a lot of times they're scrunching up their face and making the noises, which is just a huge pet peeve of mine. If it's a necessity and the project needs it, there's menthol things, people
menthol.
Blow in their eyes. There's all sorts of tricks. Like if it's mandatory, go do it, go fake it. But don't do the there's no water
there's
in
no
your eyes scrunch up face
water.
Thing. I hate that.
Right.
I feel like Jane Fonda did that on Golden Pond or something. She talked about that. She had no more tears left or something. I don't remember something like that. But I think whatever the real moment is if there's not a tear, just don't fake it. Just go.
Yeah.
People have reactions about stuff and it's no tears come out.
Of course. And also sometimes, even as a writer, I find myself writing something where I'll go, in the script, I'll write, she hears the news and instantly breaks down crying. And and then you think, in reality, a lot of times people, that doesn't happen at all. You might cry later, but in the moment of hearing it, you're just fucking dumbfounded. You're sitting there like, you know what I mean? And you have to catch yourself I have to catch myself as a writer going, be very sparing with tears.
The direction and stuff.
Yeah, of course, because that might happen naturally, but also it can get, especially it's tricky when you're writing. One of the things I'm working on now is this drama, and I have to find those moments so it doesn't feel like, oh my God, there's all these tears. And how do you do that when the stuff you're talking about is very heavy? Well, what happens in real life? Donald and I just had a friend die. Of course I cried, but I got to tell you, thank you. But 9 times out of 10, I was more sitting there like this, dumbfounded with my head in my hands and my jaw dropped. So you gotta remind yourselves about what's real, what really happens.
I remember doing a scene for Dynasty. I don't think I've ever been angry in my life, up to that time. And I was angry, but I was so angry I started crying. And I think they were like, "What the f is she doing?" But that was a real emotion probably just for me. Being angry and that brought it about, but they ended up.
Did they use it?
It?
Oh, good.
Yeah.
See, I love that stuff. I love happy accidents. In the comedy world, we are always, it goes without saying, you're trying to keep those moments in. We riff something, we think it's funny, but in the drama space too, you want to be like, oh my God, Heather got so fucking mad she started crying. Eureka, that was natural, that was real, like keep it, like that's the stuff that's the precious things we all stumble into,
it's amazing.
What we started talking about was comedically, I can never do it comedically, so
right,
that Meg Ryan scene in freaking When Harry Met Sally, when he comes over and she's crying because she's gonna be 30 soon and he's like, when? She's like, someday, and she's crying. But it's there. That's one of the best scenes ever in the history of that scene right there.
That was your favorite comedic. That's your favorite comedic crying moment.
Easily one of that is my favorite comedic crying.
Sarah Chalk was good at doing it for real on this show because she had times. I think even we've talked about it where she had to be like, crying pretty much on cue, not even from a dramatic moment, from like something funny.
Right, seeing her do that.
Yeah.
It's pretty hard, I think.
Yeah.
Analgesic. Now, I didn't know what an analgesic was. It's aspirin.
Yeah.
But We've always laughed at this joke because your patient thinks it's analgesic and puts the pills in his butt.
In his butt, yeah.
That's so good.
It's a great joke.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's pronounced analgesic. The pills go in your mouth, sir.
Yeah. Now, I didn't know what that was. Did you, Donald? You didn't know either, right? I don't know how many people got that joke at the time.
Well, no, the joke isn't that.
The joke is actually when you tell them that it's not in your anus.
It doesn't go in your butt, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Who gives a shit what analgesic really means?
Right, exactly.
Okay, you're right. Who cares what it really is? The joke is, old man, don't put these pills in your ass anymore.
Right, exactly.
That guy, I think Donald, if I'm not mistaken, he was like a regular go-to old man we often use. I've seen
Was he in a bunch of episodes?
I've seen him a few times be like the go-to ancient old man.
You want to ask Wiki? Or is this something that wouldn't show up in the Wiki?
Wiki's not going to know that. And we haven't given him his Funko Pops. Dan, are those his Funko Pops behind you? Look, I didn't know
Dan has his Funko Pops right behind him.
Dan, I didn't know if you purchased those for yourself or if they were for Scrubs Wiki guy.
I acquired them so that we could get them signed as fast as possible.
Okay. Heather, you might want some of these. Funko Pops.
We have a Scrubs Wikipedia type page where you can look up facts on the show. And so we got the guy who helped curate this whole thing with a bunch of other people. And he comes on the show every now and then and answers questions for us.
Right.
But he's not really into it. Like, he's kind of into it, but he's not really into it.
So we're bribing him.
So we're bribing him.
Like a technical advisor kind of guy.
Somewhat of a...
Yes.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah,
that's way of saying it. He's technically advising. He's like the keeper of the Scrubs Bible.
Right. Well, great. I guess so. We got to bribe him with Funko Pops. Otherwise, he doesn't do his job well. That's what I
What is a Funko Pop?
Oh, show for Heather. They kind of look like bobbleheads. They're a very popular thing.
They're grown-up action figures is what they are. They're action figures for grown-ups.
It's kind of like a bobblehead, but they don't these ones don't bobble, I don't think. Right, Dan?
Oh, okay.
These aren't bobble ones, right?
No, they're just static vinyl toys.
There are Funko Pops that bobble.
That heads bobble.
We didn't get those.
Okay, that's very cool.
So if your daughter is truly a fan of Donald Faison, I know it's from Uptown Girls, but you could get her a Donald Faison Funko Pop.
You know, her boyfriend would be destroyed.
Okay. All right. Well,
get it for him. Break them up. Break them up. Break them up. Break them up. That would be the coolest thing ever. I could walk around and say that I broke them up.
The craziest thing is if my daughter wore that dress behind you.
Oh, my God.
She might like it.
Well, right. Then my wife would probably break up with me.
Donald's
set
dressing.
Break them up. No.
I like that. So there's this pressure, as we understand it, for women, young doctors, to go into become OBGYNs because they make a lot of money, I guess. So we have this thing where the gyno girls are coming after. That was funny. And then JD goes into his fantasy, and they're having a pillow fight, and they start making out. And then he gets interrupted, so he never gets to see any of the fun sex.
Right.
And then he tries to go back into the fantasy, and she says, I'm very glad that we experimented with each other, but I'll never do it again.
Yeah. That will never happen again.
Yeah, so he's missed the whole dreamy fantasy.
Yeah.
I love the fact that Heather and Cox are walking through the hallway and she's saying hi to all the other doctors and everything like that.
Yeah.
He thinks she's just flirting and she's like, no. I slept with them.
It was great. He's like,
I know, Heather, unabashedly, the character's like, he was like, thinks, oh, you're bribing them because you're selling pharmaceuticals. She's like, no, I slept with them.
Right. Exactly.
I love that about her though. She was like, no, you get to fuck around. Why can't I fuck around?
Of course, I mean, and that's my motto too, by the way.
Yeah. I think that's everybody. I think we're starting to gear into that being everybody's motto now. Like there shouldn't be any standard. Like that's what I was saying. This show is such about this episode in particular is about double standards. You know what I mean? And how we tackle double standards. This dude's so bent out of shape that you slept with guys at the hospital, but he's got a pregnant lady.
Yes.
You know, in his back pocket. You know what I mean? It's like, come on now. You can't.
What's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Exactly.
That's right. Exactly.
Now, Heather, did you have fun working with our pal, the legendary Johnny C. McGinley? Because it looks like you guys had great chemistry.
He was so much fun. And everybody talked so fast on that show. I was like, oh, my God, here I am, William Shatner again. But, no, I had a great time with him. And, yeah, he was very, very fun. I really adored him.
You guys had such good chemistry together.
You did.
I think so. Thanks.
You did. You had a good banter. And I'm sure Johnny C. was excited when Bill was like, oh, and your love interest for the week is Heather Locklear.
He was like, well,
I don't think so.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
But it was... He was really fun.
John C. McGinley was single at this moment, too. He was like, he did the Ralph Kramer.
Heather, we were talking about in the episode before this one, because you're in that one, too, about these pharmaceutical reps who are often attractive women and they flirt with the doctors. Did you know about this before? Did you know about any of this?
I did know about it. They were like, oh, yeah, they take all the doctors to lunch and they flirt with them and give them all the, you know, and yeah, I did. I was very well aware.
Yeah,
but my favorite line was anal leakage and the thing I got to say. I loved saying anal leakage. I think I might have ruined a ringtone.
That could be a good ringtone, guys. Another one.
Another one. We got another one.
Heather Locklear saying anal leakage could be your notification. Anal leakage.
Oh, lovely. But I was aware of that.
Yeah, because we were talking about in the last episode how it's such a thing where they recruit these beautiful women who doctors are going to flirt with and go to dinner and drinks with. And we kept this going. You know, you bring all this swag to the hospital and the mug. Actually, if you see, there's an earlier scene in this where I'm drinking coffee out of a Plomox mug. That's the brand.
Oh, my gosh.
Then I think, Donald, didn't we keep it going for like a lot, many
long
seasons?
Yeah, Plomox shows up in the hospital.
There was always Plomox stuff all around because of your...
Oh, my gosh.
All the swag you left stayed around for years.
Now, here's something I wonder. You know, they always say beautiful women doing that. But are there beautiful men doing it? Because there's female doctors.
That's absolutely a very good question. I think there are.
I'm sure there's.
I had a handsome friend from high school who became one of those guys. I definitely think they lean to being good looking people because.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think again. I just remember knowing about this over 20 years ago because. Yeah. I knew girls who did it, and they were all very pretty, and they would tell me. They'd be like, you won't believe how fucked up this is. Like, people don't know. I remember a girl from my high school telling me, you can't believe the data we have on these doctors. Like, the shit we know.
Oh,
we know when they're prescribing it, what else they're prescribing, if they're not prescribing that, how it's compared to last month. When we gave them a big incentive, that trip, look how much the graph showed, how much they prescribed it more.
My gosh.
And I just could remember, being like, this is so fucked up. And then I thought I thought it'd be like discovered and over. It's like payola back in the day of the radio station days. And no, it's still going on. It's still going on today.
Like, aren't the doctors aware that this is happening and they're being
duped in a way? Oh, yeah, but they want the sushi lunch and the golf trip and the pretty woman, I'm sure.
I would love to go play golf with a pharmaceutical rep. Get me out of the hospital for 4 hours. Perfect.
Yeah. And sometimes it's like a golf retreat. All you have to do is go, like, watch the Plomox video, and then you're on a golf retreat.
Right.
Yeah.
Sipping mimosas
Amazing.
By the pool.
Yeah. Donald, we have to let Heather Locklear go because we only asked her. Yes, listen, we only recruited a legend for an hour, and we can't keep her.
Sweet, you're funny. You guys are funny.
But Heather, we really
I
want to
love
thank you
guys.
Because
thank
we,
you.
No, no, we love
we,
you.
We really
it's
are
so
big
good
fans.
To see your faces.
We were both genuinely nervous, so I'm sorry if we spoke fast and nervously.
No, me too. So I'm right with you.
It was
a pleasure.
But it was such a big deal to have you on the show remember when it happened and they were like, we got Heather Locklear, and me being like, holy shit, how the hell did we get Heather Locklear? Yeah.
Because you had a good show.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. But it was such an amazing moment to have you on the show. And then still having an in also because we had spent the summer together doing Uptown Girl.
Yeah, so. Right. That was crazy. It was really nice. And you know what? It was such a joy for me to do because it was so different from what I was doing. And the writing is excellent. The show is great. And you guys are great. And et cetera, et cetera.
Well, thank you, Heather. We really appreciate
you coming
on. Okay,
thanks, you guys.
And it's good to see you.
Good to see you.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Do we have a caller?
Yes, we do. We do have a caller. Are we going to take them right away? Do we have to go to break? What do we do?
I think we should go to break first.
Let's just talk for 1 second about Heather Locklear. I have to admit, I was very nervous. I spoke fast. Dude, I apologize to the audience. You have to understand, I had such a crush on her as a young person, and I was tongue-tied, Donald. I was tongue-tied.
You did great. You know what? I sensed that you were a little nervous.
I was I was talking like that.
But I sensed it, and so I tried to throw you into a comfort zone and just have you talk about, you know, Garden State.
Oh, yeah, that was good. Good alley-oop.
Yeah,
I see what you did. You're a good co-host. You said, Zach's rambling nonsense. Why don't I steer him to some subject he likes to discuss, directing films?
Right, exactly.
I see. God, you're good.
It's just because I love you.
Fucking hell, I love you. I want to kiss that shiny dome.
And on that note, we'll be right back. Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Hey, listeners, how is your social battery right now?
It can be easy for people to ignore their social battery and spread themselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter.
Everyone has a different capacity for socializing and different ways of recharging. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time.
Either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/RealFriends today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/RealFriends.
How about Sarah calling a vagina a bajingo? Is this something that is
It goes
said?
On forever. It goes
no,
on forever.
No, but I'm saying, like, did they make this up, the Scrubs writers? Because I've never heard a vagina called a bajingo before.
I've heard it called so many things that somebody somewhere has to call it a bajinga. Like, I've heard Nani, yeah. My Kiki.
Vertical smile.
My Nunu, yeah. My Shishi.
Yeah.
My bajinga.
My
vagina.
My burginer.
My burginer.
Yeah.
My gina.
Yeah.
My giner.
My gine.
I don't like this at all.
My gine.
Joelle, right? Joelle, are any of those nicknames for vagina? I don't know. We'll have to Google it.
I've never heard my
gine
before. Dude, what's crazy is that you got to kind of put it like a different, like, I don't know where this accent would come from, but it's sort of like a growl. My gine gine. It's too much.
My gine gine. My gine gine.
Too much. Too much.
Another one. My gine gine.
Another one.
Oh. That's a fun game to play. Make up nonsense terms for vagina. I'm glad we played.
Well, you know. We are who
we
are.
Well, listen, bajingo is bajingo. That becomes Sarah's term for vagina.
It's her go-to. It's her go-to. Let's bring in our guest.
Okay, but don't mention any of the vagina terms around the guest.
Dude, I'm done. I'm done with it. Okay.
I'm going to be appropriate.
Hey-o!
Hi.
Haley and Shelly.
Hi, Haley. Shelly. Who's Shelly?
Shelly is my mom. So the last time I used this, we were playing Scattergories with my boyfriend who's in England.
Right.
But bidet to you.
Oh.
Bidet to you.
She took, well, audience members, she took a sip of a of what looks like an Appletini.
Appletini. It looks like an Appletini. I don't think
and
it is.
She's
I think
wearing,
it's just water.
She's wearing a Han Solo tank top, Donald.
Yeah, she knows the way to my heart.
Yes, she does.
I'm gonna say something real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
Haley, you might just be the best guest we've ever had ever.
Because she's wearing official. That shirt. Can you tell Donald where to get that shirt, Haley, please?
Got it at Forever 21. Like
there
10
you go, days. Donald.
Well, that's not gonna be
Donald.
Me.
Donald, you shop at Forever 21. Donald's
I
Forever 46.
You know, I thought Forever 21 was a store that you went to when you were 21.
I did too.
I thought that too, but I was not 21 when I bought it. So
I thought Forever 21 meant that you wanted to look like a 21-year-old. That's not
no,
what it is.
No, it means that everything under everything is $21 and under or something.
Really?
Like yeah.
Joelle, is that true?
I think there's things for over. It's it. Listen, I will say this: you can buy a $3
T-shirt. Coats and bigger items were more expensive, but.
Yeah, like they have record players and things.
But you
can
divide it, and at the end, you get 21, right? Something like that.
Oh my God. This is a mind-blowing moment for me because I, up to this moment, thought the whole concept was, let's say you're a little bit older, but you miss feeling like a little hip. You can go to Forever 21, and you're going to look forever 21.
No. It's you got a couple of 21s in your pocket.
What?
You got $105 in your pocket. You can get 5 outfits from Forever 21.
Okay.
I did that math quick. That was quick math.
That was relatively
that was
good.
Quick.
Where are you calling from, Haley?
I'm in Soledad, California at my mom's right now. So this is where I've been all lockdown. Yes.
Where is Soledad? I don't know where that is.
So it's near, it's about half an hour south on the 101 of Monterey.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So it's, there's nothing here. There's nothing here.
What do you, Haley, what do you
that's
do?
Bullshit. You're
what
there.
Do you do?
You're
what do you
there,
do
Haley.
In, what
Thank
do you,
you
do
Donald.
In Soledad, Haley?
Right now I bide my time until I get to go back to the UK. So
that's where your boyfriend is. And that's where your boyfriend is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you want to get back to him?
I do, yes.
Do you
now, Haley, you
UK
can go you can go to the UK, Haley. You just have to quarantine for 2 weeks on your own.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're doing a visa right now, so we're working on that.
Oh, I see. And are you content to be a transplant and live there full time with your boyfriend?
Yeah, I'd love to be transplanted into that country, so stick me there.
I do love the UK. The UK is a lot of fun, dude.
We love it too. I'm going to be I'm going to be transplanting there myself.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
You're going to live in the UK?
Well, for part I'm dating a British woman and
yeah, part-time.
I will be spending I'm sure a percentage of my life there. Don't get upset. I'm not moving there, Donald. I'm just saying that Haley can attest, if one is in a relationship with an English person, you have to go there sometimes, and it's a delightful place to go. Hey, listen, they could be from a country you don't want to visit. Haley and I are lucky that it's a country we both love,
and the food's not as bad as everyone says it is.
Oh, the food's wonderful.
The food's wonderful.
You can give me mushy peas any day of the week.
Oh my God, do
you
I
like
love
the
mushy.
Bangers and mash? You like the bangers and mash?
I like
I don't
that.
Really, I don't really eat pork, so I eat the mash, but not the bangers.
I don't understand why we don't have mushy peas in this country because it's.
Can I use your pool
when
you're gone?
You can get them in a can, but it's not as good.
You can use.
Can I
my
use your pool when you're gone?
Yes, you can use my pool when I'm gone.
Okay, cool.
Haley,
I'm gonna
to
miss
hear.
You.
Haley doesn't have to hear about this. We can negotiate that offline.
That's all right.
No, it's fine.
Just make sure all my rafts stay inflated.
Right. Anyway, Haley.
Haley, do you have a question for us? Please, please,
yes,
please.
Yes, I do. I had it on a piece of paper, and I left it in the other room. But
go get it. Go get it.
No,
it's
can...
fine.
Okay.
So this is my fruit cups, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is probably my favorite episode, and I don't really know why. It's just my favorite episode. It's the one I probably quote the most, you know, like the day to you, sir, as he walks away.
Right.
And I love the music. The first scene, whenever I used to, where I worked, I went, occasionally had to take, you know, a toilet paper roll or two from work. Yeah. And I'd occasionally be like, or you steal stuff and take it back to work or take it back home. But I feel like it's a pivotal point for all the characters. Like Dr. Cox gets back together with Jordan. JD and Turk kind of both realize that, you know, Turk's relationship with Carla is really solidifying in this, and Elliot stands up to her dad. So I was kind of wondering, at what point in the series did you think that your characters matured the most, or whether it was how you played them or how it was written?
All right, Haley, look at Donald's smug face.
Did he say the same thing?
Yes. He totally agrees with you. He gave his 30-second summary and touched on everything that you just said. And that's why he's got that shit-eating grin on his face.
Why do they call it a shit-eating grin?
You wouldn't be grinning if you were eating shit, would you?
I would not be smiling if I had to stick doo-doo in my mouth. That would there be
must,
like...
There must be
it,
a reason.
It would be like... It would be. I get it. So it's not really a shit-eating grin. It's the face you make where you're like, oh, God, this is so gross. And it looks like a smile, but really...
Is that what it is?
It's a grimace.
It
gotta
be. Joelle, are you looking that up for us? We need to know the origin of shit-eating grin.
What the... Anyway.
So Donald, you're best to answer that because you've already spoken about this briefly.
I think this is the episode where... Now, when we were filming it, no, I did not realize this because none of us knew where the show was going to go at this point. But you're absolutely right. Every story that's told in this episode goes to the end.
Yeah.
Each and every one of these stories. Elliot standing up to her dad. This becomes her on her own and having to make decisions on her own. And we see how crazy life is for her when she has to do that, right? Mm-hmm. She's a hectic person.
Mm-hmm.
Carla and Turk go on to get married and have kids. Cox and Jordan go on to have more children. Every one of these, and JD's in limbo for the rest of the season, up until the last. Up
Forever
until
in limbo.
Eight.
That could be the name of the show, Forever in Limbo,
but
JD.
Up until season eight, you are forever in limbo. You are the dude who has no idea. We don't know where you're going to go. But at this point, if you were to look back after doing the whole show, this would be the episode, My Fruit Cups, where you're like, this is where they gave us a taste of what was to come.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't see that, to be honest. I was just kind of in more of a micro viewing of it, laughing at the jokes. There's some ones, like you keep saying, bidet to you, sir, the mention of Bajingo.
Oh,
There's a few classic sort of moments in here.
Laverne in the beginning when she's like, you look pretty.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
The analgesic, the pills go in your mouth.
Analgesic.
And your Neil Diamond impersonation.
Right, to Jimmy, with Jimmy Crack Corn, and I don't care.
It's the first appearance of the Volvo, I believe. Donald, do you know the, don't ruin it, Haley, because you probably know. Donald, do you know the name of the brown Volvo?
No.
Malik.
Yeah, it's Malik.
It's Malik? We named the Volvo Malik?
Yeah.
I named my Volvo Malik?
Yeah.
Wow. And then you named your
Wait, is it your
Sasha?
Volvo? Or,
I think it's JD's.
It might be my Volvo. I don't know.
Why did you name your brown Volvo Malik, dog?
I have a feeling you may have named it.
Yeah, I think Turk named the car.
Because I definitely named my scooter Sasha.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
You know, whenever I post a picture of me on anything two-wheeled, people are like, is that new Sasha? I like post a picture of my motorcycle, and I'm like, ooh, Sasha got an upgrade.
There was that time that you bought me that scooter and it was gray.
You didn't even drive it once.
I did drive it around.
No, you
I
fucking
named it
didn't.
Sasha
Be
gray.
Honest. You don't lie to
I
Haley.
I named it Sasha Gray. What are you talking about?
Oh, you named it Sasha Gray?
Yeah.
Oh, she's
so
honored.
And then you took it back.
Well, let's tell the audience the true story of this because it was hurtful to me.
No, I had to. Here's the thing. It
no,
was one
no,
of those
no.
Things. No,
no.
Let me
be
finish.
Honest. Don't do a fucking censored version.
I'm going to be 100% honest. So for my birthday, Zach buys me a scooter. A gray scooter.
Named Sasha Gray.
I named her Sasha Gray.
That's very clever.
Cousin of Macy Gray.
Sure. Sure. Sure.
Sure. Let's keep Haley innocent of any
Absolutely.
Naughty knowledge. All right, go ahead.
Right. And the problem with it was, though, is that you had to have a motorcycle license to drive it. It wasn't one of those things where you could just, it wasn't a scooter that was slow enough that you could ride around on it and not have to have a license. So if I would have got pulled over, they automatically would have been like, let me see your license. I'd be like, I don't have a license. And then they'd confiscate Sasha Gray and then I'd never see her again. Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Tecovas are one of my favorite boot brands. They're bringing a fresh perspective to heritage bootmaking. So they've carried forward all the time-honored traditions and quality you find in a great pair of cowboy boots. But they've made some innovations in comfort, style, and service.
These boots are Austin-designed, Texas-tested, and handmade down in the bootmaking capital of the world, Leon, Mexico.
Whenever I slip on my Tecovas boots, I feel the cowboy magic, Donald. They're tough enough for getting dirty, but classic and stylish enough for a night out on the town.
If you ever wonder if you can pull off cowboy boots, you should pull on a pair of Tecovas. You'll see. They'll become your new favorite footwear. Cowboys knew what they were doing when they invented Western wear. If you can't make it into a store, Tecovas delivers the most premium quality and most comfortable Western goods right to your door. Visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. And point your toes west.
As a special opportunity for our listeners, Tecovas has said they will throw in one of their best-selling trucker hats or ball caps for free into any minimum purchase of $100 on Tecovas.com. Just use code REALFRIENDS at checkout. That's REALFRIENDS. It's about a $30 value, and they sell fast, so there are always new styles and looks. Again, for a limited time, just enter code REALFRIENDS at checkout to add a free logo hat to your order as a one-time gift from Tecovas, only at Tecovas.com.
All right, now from my point of view, Haley, imagine you're my really good friend, and it's a big birthday. I think it was a meaningful this important birthday. And I was like, I want to do something like baller for you. I'm going to like, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to ring your doorbell, Haley. And when you come outside, there's going to be a brand new, beautiful, expensive, shiny scooter there for you.
Yeah.
It was one of the best birthday presents ever. Until
and then for years and years and years, I'd be like, do you ever use the scooter? And he'd be like, oh, my motorcycle license, my motorcycle. And I'd be like, oh, okay, well, you're going to get that, right? You can get that. You just go take the test real quick. And he'd be like, oh, yeah, yeah, the battery's dead now. There was always a reason. There was always a reason.
I rode that scooter around my neighborhood quite a few times.
Bullshit. Haley, you know what I finally did?
You want me to go get Casey?
I reclaimed that shit, Haley. I was like, I'm taking her back.
You repoed that shit. That shit was straight up out of a Jay-Z song.
Yeah, I rolled up and took it back. At a protest.
They repoed your vehicle. Everything was all good just a week ago. That's what you did. You repoed the vehicle.
I took Sasha Gray away from you.
You did. And it hurt my feelings.
Yeah, I understand. Anyway, sorry we had to air that in front of you, Haley. Do you have another question for Donald Faison or Joelle or Daniel or Zach?
I guess I have a funny story that relates to Zach, what you were talking about a few episodes ago with the Temple of Doom.
Yeah.
I have a funny, I can ask my question or I can relate another silly story.
Tell us your silly story. We've answered it.
Tell us your silly story. And if it's not funny, we'll let you ask
your
question.
You can edit it out.
Yeah. We'll ask your question. We edit out everything. Don't worry.
So when I was maybe about 8, 9, 10, I noticed that
you 8, 9, or 10?
In between there. I don't really remember.
So you were...
I was an adolescent.
Right on.
Got it. Go ahead.
But I had noticed that there was something kind of growing on my throat area. And I went up to my dad, who's a doctor. And I was like, Dad, look, I have an Adam's apple. Because I was a child, I didn't know that that was not a girl thing to have.
Right.
Like, well, that's not normal. So we went to go get it checked out. And I had to get something removed that was growing on my vocal cords. And it was, as a child, surgery is kind of scary. So after we had done the surgery and I was staying overnight, my dad was like, oh, we have some movies that are at the hospital here. We'll watch this one. It was Indiana Jones, Temple of Doom. When it gets to the part, you know, when he's ripping out the heart, I just immediately started bawling.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, dad.
Yeah. That's what exactly. My mom came the next day. He's like, yeah, she had this really bad reaction to the movie. And she's like, well, of course she did. They were ripping out somebody's heart.
Yeah.
And I don't think I watched it for at least another 10 years. And then I watched it again and I was like, this isn't that bad.
I know, but Haley, just
like me.
It's one
of the best movies ever made.
I know, but Haley and I were scarred by this film. Our parents made bad choices.
How can you be upset at that movie?
Indiana Jones. I had a whole birthday revolved around Indiana Jones later, but not Temple of Doom. The first one, mainly.
Raiders of the Lost Ark is just as scary when they open the Ark of the Covenant and it makes the dude's face melt.
No, I had no problem with that. There was something about...
There's a man that screams like a blood-curdling scream. He's like... screams like that. I backed up from the mic. You're welcome.
You're welcome. You're welcome, America.
America, UK, Germany, Italy.
Australia.
Wherever you listen, Australia, you're welcome. Another one.
Listen.
A lot of people are asking, I don't mean to cut you off, but a lot of people are asking me, and this is, I feel we need to explain this. We didn't make up another one.
Oh, yeah. I just thought everyone would know the pop culture thing of another one.
No, DJ Khaled.
Yes.
DJ Khaled. Khalid.
It's however Khaled. Isn't it Khaled?
You know, some people say Khalid, some people say Khaled.
Dan, you're a DJ. What is it?
Well, there's Khalid, the artist who made Talk. And then I thought it was DJ Khaled with a more like...
I thought it was Khaled too, yeah.
Yeah,
DJ Khaled.
DJ Khaled, when he drops his latest tracks, he will, in the spirit of Puffy back in the day, going,
Or can't stop, won't stop.
Yeah, his thing is another one. Like, here's another hit song for you guys. Right.
He has another one. There's that, and then there's Major Key, and then there's We the Best.
Major Key means what? If the song is in a major key?
I don't know what major key is. That's a question to ask Scrubs Wiki.
We have Ask DJ Khaled, and now we're going to go to Ask DJ Khaled.
You mean by major key?
Another one. Joelle, did you ever find out what Shit Eating Grin was about?
Yeah, there's a couple of stories. You want to hear them?
Yeah, please. Sure.
Okay. So my favorite one comes from R.B. Smith. He's from the UCSD Astrophysics Program, and this is off of the SanDiegoReader.com. He says the original form of this phrase was grinning like a possum eating shit, which was occasionally euphemized to grinning like a possum eating pumpkin seeds. To those of us fortunate enough to have observed this teeth together, lips apart, smile on the face of the aforementioned marsupial munching on the aforementioned sactological delicacy, he's smart, the expression conjures up a very explicit and not infrequently very apropos image. So that's part of it.
Did he say scatological delicacy?
Yes.
Those are not two words I've ever heard together.
It was not fun to say.
That's the name of my band.
That's a good name.
So it's referring to an animal who's eating shit and has a big smile on his face because the animal likes eating shit.
But it's not really shit. It's actually pumpkin.
Pumpkin seed.
No.
That's a clean version.
Yeah,
if
you're saying it in front of a kid, you're like, oh, he's eating.
He's a pumpkin. Look at that pumpkin seed eating grin on his face.
Yeah. I'm going to start saying pumpkin seed eating grin instead of shit eating grin. Haley, we like you so much. We're going to end with one more question from you.
All right. So I don't know if you guys remember, because I know you guys have been saying that you don't remember some of the episodes, but if there was one line that another character had that you wish you could have had to say, do you remember which one it was?
Good question.
I like in your endo. In your endo.
I say that a lot as well. I say that a lot.
I think I'd take sometimes when I'm banging this mattress, I pretend I'm banging that one.
It's usually something Todd said. The Todd says.
I also like Neil's line. The good Lord didn't bless my wife with all 10 fingers.
That's another pointer, thumb.
Yeah, pointer and thumb pinky.
I love knife French.
Yeah. Knife French is very popular.
Yeah.
You know, for kids.
For kids.
You know, I want to be the one inside of you. I thought that was very funny too. But I said that.
You said that, so you didn't really answer her question. You're the only man who's ever been inside of me.
Whoa. I just took out his appendix.
There's no need to clarify.
Oh, no.
Okay, sorry, we're doing this again. Haley, thank you so much for coming on. Good luck getting to be with your fella in the United Kingdom.
Thank you,
Perhaps I'll see you over there after we've both quarantined.
And most likely you won't, would be nice.
Donald, this is called pleasantries, Donald. I will wave to you.
I'm all about keeping it real,
Zach.
On
the train.
It's not a train. It's called the tube.
Well, there are trains. The tube is only in London.
Yeah, Donald, don't listen.
I thought that's where you were going. Isn't the UK London?
No, I'm in Newcastle, so I'm in like the north of London.
Oh, okay.
That's where I'm going.
Oh, aren't we ritzy?
No, it's not ritzy.
It's not ritzy.
London isn't ritzy. London is the hood, if you ask me, yo.
Okay.
I love that.
Tonight on Donald talks about different neighborhoods of London. All right. Bye, Haley. Thank you so much
Thank
for calling.
Thank you so much. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Take care, Haley.
Bye.
I once saw Lisa Marie Presley in London.
Really?
Yeah, like at a show. She did a show. It was like, my buddy was like, Lisa Marie Presley's performing.
You know, first of all, I'm glad we're all finally alone now, because I feel like we had to be great for Heather, and then we had to host Haley, who was delightful. But sometimes you just want to just curl up on the couch with your friends and just shoot the shit, you know?
No, I totally agree.
Yeah. So let's relax. I'm going to undo the top button of my pants and just I'm going to kick my shoes off. Let's pack a bowl and let's just fucking relax now.
Amazing. Okay?
No more house guests. No more visitors.
Okay.
Just us.
Let's get fetal on the couch and watch Alone. Now
and
Donald,
that's the show, ladies and gentlemen.
No, it's not. We got more to do.
Krista Miller's back on the episode.
Krista Miller's back, looking gorgeous and pregnant.
And pregnant. Is that William in her belly?
That must be Will in her belly. Yes.
That's amazing.
We know
when I told
was...
Casey that, she was like, "Holy cow! This was that long ago." Because William is a senior in high school now?
Yes, he must be a junior in high school. And he dunked. He can dunk.
And he plays basketball, and he got the game?
Yeah. You guys are seeing him in this episode in utero, and now he dunks.
If you want to see him do it, you can go to Bill Lawrence's
Bill Lawrence
Instagram,
on Bill Lawrence's V-Doozer's Instagram. You can see his son dunk. How about at 10:13 when I go, "I told you smoked the ganja."
Yeah. That was improv. That wasn't something.
Oh, really?
That was improv. I remember. It was something else originally. And
funny.
Yeah, I remember laughing so hard when you said that too. And I remember thinking, that'll never make this episode. That'll never make the show.
Yeah, because we weren't allowed to talk about weed back then. It was so scandalous. Now, I want to know you something. I read on Scrubs Wiki that your Brady Bunch trivia here is wrong.
I don't know nothing about the Brady Bunch in the first place. So I don't.
Okay, is quite wrong here, and I'll tell you why.
I can't back it up, though, because I don't know shit about the Brady Bunch.
I'm just telling you so you know if it ever comes up again in your life. When Turk tries to prove his knowledge of the Brady Bunch by describing exactly which episode JD is referring to, he's incorrect. He claims the episode, quote, "Marsha Gets Creamed," end quote, was in... By the way, you could never name a show that today. Was in season... was in season 5, episode 3, while it was actually episode 7 that season. So somebody fucked up. We can blame who wrote
Janae.
This. Janae.
Who wrote this?
Janae, you fucked up, okay? And you're a Northwestern grad. I expected more from you.
I really got to hand it to Krista in this episode, you know, making fun of herself and, you know, making fun of the fact that she's pregnant and being so vulnerable. She did such a great job. And the scene in the bathroom where she's crying, yeah. You know, and...
That felt very raw and real.
Yeah, it did, you know, and I remember when my wife was pregnant and there were days where she didn't necessarily feel like, you know, she was the sexiest person on the planet. And I remember just thinking, wow, she's so beautiful. She's so beautiful. And I feel like that's what Cox was going through in this episode. You know, regardless of him dating Heather Locklear's character and everything like that, there's something special about when you see somebody who you love and they're carrying your baby inside of them that you just think they're the most beautiful human on the planet. Like I just remember looking at Casey and being like, holy shit, she's so beautiful. And she'd be like, I got 3 chins. And I'd be like, I don't give a shit. You could have 20 chins. You look so beautiful.
I love all three of them.
Right. You know what I mean?
Well, I bet, you know, Krista's a really good actress, but I also bet that, you know, she was legit pregnant. And I'm sure that she could call upon those feelings when she's sitting on the bathroom floor feeling, you know, undesired by Dr. Cox. I thought that was a really nice scene between the two of them.
Yeah, and it was a good fake out too.
Yeah, that was clever how they had to do that. So Johnny C grabs 2 things of whiskey, Heather's on the couch. By the time he comes around, it's been changed to Krista. And she's like, you know I can't drink that, right? He's like, yeah, they're both for me.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. Now this, we've said it a couple times, but this is one of the greatest lines in Scrubs history in this episode, 1309. I have one of those French things that shoots water up my butt. Bidet? Bidet to you, sir.
Clever. I said bidet.
That was very clever. Heather has a line that's funny when she disses Krista. She says, anywhere anybody looks, they'll see you. That was fucked up. And how about when I scare you in the ambulance and you scream? That was funny.
Yeah, and... Yeah, I was going to say, dude, such a good scene, man. That's one of those moments, you know, we've worked together for a really long time and you have, and I've seen, I feel like I've seen most of your tricks. You've developed some new tricks that I haven't seen in the last 10 years because you've gone on to work on other things and everything like that. But this is one of those, this is one of the first times where we had done a season of Scrubs together already. And I hadn't seen you play this side before, where it was like you're really thinking about it in the scene, and it disturbs you, but it doesn't disturb you to where you're like kind of fucked up about it. But it's just like, holy shit, life's changing for us. And I had never seen you play that before. And I remember watching this because I watched it like two hours ago, and thinking, if I remember correctly, I remember Zach not knowing how he wanted to play this scene. And we worked on this on his side for a bit. And this is what he came up with. And it works so well, dude. It works. It's one of those moments where, you know, you're in awe of the moment as an actor, but you're also, you want to keep it grounded. Like, so she said we. You know what I mean? And that could have been played so many other ways. It could have been underplayed, but you played it very thoughtfully, and I thought that was so amazing.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. You know, it's, on this show, it was always you and I so easily went into the silly stuff.
Right.
Because that's who we are, and that came naturally to us. But then there's always these great moments, and this scene is one of them, where we have this sort of heart-to-heart where we would have to shift our brains a bit and be like, no. Go out of broad silliness and like drop in and be just totally real and straight with one another. And I think that's one of the things that made this show special to a lot of people because it had the ability to do that. It had the ability to drop in and be real.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, yeah, obviously that's the reason why we ran for so long. But that's such a special thing, man. To for me now to go back and look at the things that we did in our past and the things that, you know, it's a lot like what this episode is about, you know, you just to look at, you know, moments that we had back in the day and really appreciating them, you know. I miss the camaraderie that we had. I don't think I'll ever in my life experience what we experienced when we were making this show again. And, you know, you search for it and you try to create it with other people. And sometimes you even fake it. But, you know, you
we were also young. And I mean, first of all, yeah, of course, 9-year runs on a show with great people is not something that happens multiple times in a lifetime necessarily. But also we were young and so wide eyed and so excited and really savoring it, I think. And now, you know, you have a family, you know, we all have grown up, we've got other things going on. I don't even know that we would, I don't even know if it's recreatable in a new environment. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can't imagine myself, I can't imagine myself spending the amount of time that we've spent together with someone else now, you know, other than my wife.
And the hours too, man. I also don't want to work that hard.
Well, I don't mind working those hours.
I love working, but when I look at this show, we were just non-existent.
Well, you worked a lot of hours. There were times where you just didn't do, but
I just didn't leave. There were times where I thought about sleeping in that fucking hospital.
Yeah, no, not me.
But I never did. Listen, the rooftop that ends this show, wasn't it downtown LA?
I don't know. I would like to believe that it was. It could have been Joseph's.
No, it wasn't. It was a fancy rooftop. And I believe that we went downtown LA for it. But Scrubs Wiki is saying that it was at UCLA. And I think it might be wrong. And they're saying it's the
roof of Covell Commons. And we got to give this dude freaking Funkos, man?
No, listen. He deserves Funkos for the services he's already performed.
They're giving us false. It's false, though, man. Where at UCLA was that?
He says, well, Wiki, or it's not just him and his thousand minions say Covell Commons, but that would be Westwood, and that's not Westwood in the end of the show. Right, Dan?
Do you want to ask Bill? Do you think Bill would remember?
Bill's not going to remember either.
He's not going to remember
that. Let's ask DJ Khaled. DJ Khaled, at the end of this episode, what building are we on? I believe it was downtown. Some are saying it's a UCLA property, which is Westwood. What are your thoughts on this?
Zach.
Major Key.
I got nothing.
I know.
I really honestly don't even have a DJ Khaled impersonation in my repertoire.
If you watch Scrubs on Hulu, they play a DJ Khaled commercial about him somebody brushing their teeth, and DJ Khaled's like, circular motions. Do another one.
What if I do DJ Khaled, but as a impersonation that I'm good at? So you just have to, you the audience will just have to pretend this is how he talks.
Go ahead.
Okay? He talks like Aaron Neville. I don't remember where you guys shot that scene, but I don't think it was UCLA. It was downtown LA. That's how DJ Khaled talks in my mind.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Aaron Neville's rolling over in his grave right now.
Did Aaron Neville die?
I don't know, but he's rolling over in his grave right
Why
now.
Why is he rolling over his grave if he's alive?
Well, that's something Charles Barkley says.
Oh, okay. DJ Khaled, is Aaron Neville dead?
No, he's very much alive.
We should probably end this fucking show.
Oh, my God.
We're losing our minds.
Great show.
Listeners, we love you. What? Go ahead.
Why is the janitor stealing a computer?
I don't know.
He goes through the whole episode. He's trying to figure out who's stealing all of these drugs.
I think the reveal is that he's the one stealing everything out of the hospital, right?
Well, no. He didn't steal the drugs, and he definitely didn't steal the pudding pops because we did.
Right.
Hey, guys. We had a great time with you today.
Yes. Sorry for anything that went wrong.
We want to thank Heather Locklear for being on the show. We want to thank Joelle and Daniel.
You guys are amazing. Thank you, listeners all around the world, for tuning in and for having a giggle with us. And we hope that this audio file finds you smiling.
Good day.
Good day to you all.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we made. About a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said he's got stories that we all should know.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.